All right. Daniel chapter number 10 tonight, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. Daniel chapter number 10. And while you're turning, I want to say I'm thankful again to be back in the house of God. I appreciate the hospitality of your pastor and his family. And honestly, on behalf of just not myself, but our entire family, we have thoroughly enjoyed, always do enjoy coming and being here at this church and just the atmosphere, just being where the presence of God is. Amen. And I know you probably hear this from many preachers, but I'm sure you know what you have. Amen. Because churches all around us across this country, they're dying by the dozens. Amen. And to go to a place where you can hear the Word of God preached and feel the presence of God, I want to tell you, in this day and time, those are few and far between. Amen. And so I always say this everywhere I go, you ought to pray for your church. Amen. And then you ought to pay for your church. You ought to invest in it. And then you ought to protect your church. Amen. And outside your home, the church is the best thing that we have going for us. Amen. A local New Testament church. And I praise the Lord for that tonight. Daniel chapter number 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, and for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore was I left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, and set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence once again tonight, Lord, as we come to the throne of grace and mercy, we do come in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege we have to pray tonight. We want to thank you, dear Lord, that the blood has been applied. And Lord, that we have access into the throne of grace tonight, that we can come boldly and that we can approach with freedom tonight. Lord, I pray now that you'll bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you'll help us. Lord, I'm reminded of the psalmist when he said, I'll lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And certainly, God, we need you tonight. We need you to help us. And Lord, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified and pleased with our worship. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 here in just a moment. And on the outset of this message, there's basically 4 things that I want to mention. And one of them I would like to preach on tonight. When you come to this text tonight, I notice first of all the timing that is in this text. As it says that it was the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. You know that Daniel is now an older man. He has spent over 70 years of his life in Babylon. The decree has been given by Darius, and who was the uncle of Cyrus. And so Cyrus, being the nephew, is now in control. And Daniel has been, the decree has been given to the Jews that they can go back to their homeland. And Daniel is in the walking years of his life. This is about 533 B.C. And so that is somewhat of the timing that is taking place in this text. But there's another thing I want you to look at, not only the timing of the text, but there's a thing that is in this text. Notice the Bible says that a thing was revealed unto Daniel. And then it says in later in verse number 1 that this thing was true. And finally it says that he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now the question in my mind when I come to this verse is, what is this thing? What does this thing mean? And so the word thing simply means a word or a revelation. Daniel has been giving a word. He has been giving a revelation from God. And the Bible says that this thing was that was revealed to Daniel, that it was true and that it was understood. You know, all that can be said about the Word of God tonight. Every bit of the Word of God has been revealed. Every bit of the Word of God is true, and every bit of the Word of God can be
be understood. Amen? And so Daniel has been given this thing. There is the thing that is in this text, the timing of this text. And then there's the turmoil that is in this text. If you go back to chapter number 9, you don't have to do that tonight, but you can read it later. But if you go back to chapter number 9, what you see is Daniel pours his heart out for his nation. He prays for the people of God. He is burdened and he is concerned for the lack of concern that is amongst God's people. What I mean by that is that there's a lot of social turmoil that's taking place in chapter 9 and chapter 10 because the decree has been given. There has been less than 50,000 Jews that have went back home. You might be here tonight and say, well, preacher, why would so few Jews go back home when they've been set free from Babylon, when they've been set free from that captivity? The reason for that is because they had become so settled in Babylon. They had spent much of their life there now, and they had begun to live like the Babylonians. They had become so complacent and apathetic that they would rather stay in Babylon as to go back home and do the will of God. And so Daniel is burdened about that. He is burdened because his people are not burdened to go and fulfill what God has called them to do. I think if there's anything that we ought to be concerned about in 2019, it should be the lack of concern that's taking place amongst God's people. That there's a settling down and a cooling off, and that apathy has filled our church pews, and that people are no longer concerned about the things that God is most concerned about. And so that is the turmoil that is in this text. And then certainly there is spiritual turmoil in chapter 10 because God pulls back the curtain in chapter 10 and he allows us to take a sneak peek of what takes place when a child of God begins to pray. You know that in this chapter here that Daniel prays for 3 full weeks and it looks like the heavens have turned to brass. It looks like God is not moving, that he is not answering, but we know that there's a battle taking place between good and evil. Amen? Between God and Satan over the prayers of his children. And what I would say about that tonight is simply this, is that a lot of times when you and I pray, when we don't see God do anything, and we don't feel like we get a hold of God, we should remember that whenever we do not pray through, we should just pray on. Amen? Because that's what Daniel does. He does not quit. He does not give up. He doesn't throw the towel in because nothing is happening. He continues in prayer until he sees God do something in his life. And so there is certainly the turmoil in this text. But then there is the triumph in this text. And that's really what I want to preach on tonight. The triumph that is in this text. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Daniel is now in the walking years of his life. He's well into his 90s. He's lived most of his life in Babylon. And you know that this afternoon that just by the course of nature and the law of physics tonight, that as we get older physically, we grow weaker. Isn't that right? Our bodies begin to get frail. Our bodies begin to get weak. Daniel's body is getting weak also. Those Jews that went back home, perhaps Daniel did not go home because of, there is one final vision that God wanted to give him, and he wanted him to have that vision in Babylon. Another reason that Daniel may not have went home is because that it is a 600-mile journey. It's over 30 days for him to take that journey, and physically he may not have been able to have made that journey. Physically, his body is growing weaker. I think this chapter gives us the full circle of life of what God intends for every Christian tonight. Because though Daniel's body is growing weaker physically, his spirit is growing stronger. Daniel is more awake and more alert in chapter 10 than he ever has been in all of his life. As he comes to the end of his journey, as he comes to the closing years and the walking years of his life, as the tide is crashing at his feet, and it will not be too long that Daniel will take his flight like those that have gone on before. Physically, he may be weak. Physically, he may be tired. But spiritually, he's in better shape than he's ever been in all of his life. You know, that is the will of God for every Christian tonight. That the older we get and the closer we get to the end, the stronger we ought to be spiritually. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject on a spirit-filled saint of God. A Spirit-filled saint of God. I know in the Old Testament that the Spirit came upon man and did not indwell them, but I think that in this chapter tonight that you'll agree with me that there are some distinctive things that marks Daniel as a man, a young man and an old man that was filled with the Spirit of God, that he lived in obedience to the Spirit of God. Now I want to say tonight the most important question that you will ever be asked, number one, the most important question you'll ever be asked is, are you saved? Amen? But I want to tell you the second most important question that you're ever going to be asked tonight as you sit here and say, well, preacher, I've got that down and I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven and that's wonderful. But the second most important question you and I will ever be asked is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? You see, tonight there's a great need to be filled with the Spirit. For we cannot do anything without God's touch and God's power. I think if anything is handicapped as in these last days is that there is a generation of churchgoers that do not know the difference between power and performance. Amen. They've come to church and have been entertained and they're great orators and great speakers of the day, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the missing element in most of our churches today is we need a fresh touch off the altar of God. Amen. We need the breeze of heaven to blow once again. We need to feel that drawing power that calls men to mission field, that brings men to the foot of the cross. And I want to say something tonight. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot get that out of a Bible college. You cannot get that out of a book. I'm going to tell you, friend, that is a sovereign touch of God that only comes through being filled with the Holy Spirit of God tonight. And Daniel marks that man. I want to give you these things tonight about a Spirit-filled saint of God. I want to say, number one tonight, that Spirit-filled saints are sharp. They're sharp. Notice the Bible said in verse number one, the latter part, that he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. You know, when I think about this preacher, when I think about who the wisest man was in the entire Babylonian kingdom, it wasn't the king, it wasn't some politician, it wasn't some soothsayer or someone that was fresh out of the Chaldean seminary, it wasn't some young whippersnapper of that day. You know who the sharpest person was in the entire Babylonian kingdom? It was a 90-something-year-old man that had walked with God all the days of his life. Daniel knew more about what was taking place amongst the Babylonians and what was taking place amongst his Jews, of the Jews, not only presently, but even future events. He knew more about current events and world events and what was taking place around the world than anyone in the entire kingdom. And the reason Daniel knew that is because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Daniel was out of touch with Babylon, but thank God he was in touch with heaven. Amen? And I want to tell you, my friend, the most sharpest people I've ever met in my Christian life. Now, I'm not against education, don't misunderstand me, but some of them had no education, no formal education. Some of them, my friend, listen, their name was never in lives. They never achieved anything successful or great in this life, but they spent a lifetime walking and praying in the Spirit. They knew more about what was going on around us than a lot of politicians and those who are in government and even a lot of preachers of our day. Amen? I want to say, my friend, if there's anything that we need some Spirit-filled people that will be able to discern what is and what is not of God. Amen. You know, spiritual people, they know when He shows up and they know when He's not there. A Spirit-filled preacher will know when he's preached under the anointing power of God and he'll know when he's not. Doesn't matter how many people walk to the back door and shake your hand and say, great job, good sermon, wonderful message. Amen. I'm going to tell you, whenever God doesn't touch you, a million compliments would never put peace in your heart and send you home with a satisfied spirit. On the other side of that, you can preach. And listen, they may be happy, they may be sad, they may be glad, or they may get mad. But if you know that you did what God wanted you to do, and if you know that God helps you while you preach, you can pillow your head at night and be satisfied. For the stamp of God's approval, it outweighs those all around us tonight. I'm talking about Spirit-filled people are sharp. Amen. Secondly, I would say tonight that Spirit-filled people are steady. The Bible says in verse number 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I see Daniel in this text for 3 weeks, he doesn't hear from heaven. For 3 weeks, it looks as if God is not answering his prayer. But he doesn't give up, as I mentioned before, because he's steady. You know, Spirit-filled people are steady tonight. They don't change with every wind and doctrine. They don't leave their church because their children leave the church. Amen. They don't go join up with their children. Just go to the church down the road. I mean, their children might leave, but they just stay steady. They don't change when the preacher changes. They don't lay out on Wednesday night if the preacher's off preaching a meeting somewhere. They just come on Wednesday night because they got something deeper than preacher religion. They got real religion, pure religion. Amen. Spirit-filled people, they're just there every time you turn the lights on. Spirit-filled people, listen, they come ready because they're ready every day of the week. Sunday, it's not just something different to them, but they meet with Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. So Sunday is just an extension. They're steady. Amen. You know what's interesting about this text? Is Daniel is doing the same thing in verse 2 and 3 in his 90s that he was doing in chapter 1 in his teens. He said, I ate no flesh nor wine. For 3 whole weeks, Daniel is doing the same thing in chapter 10 that he was doing in chapter 1. He's doing the same thing as an old man that he did as a young man. You say, why is that, preacher? Because spirit-filled people are that way. Once you find out what works, why change? Amen. Isn't that right? That's why I'm not changing Bibles, because this Bible, there's nothing wrong with it. Amen? It works just fine. I'm not changing and debating convictions and standards because I already know that it works. Amen? Doesn't matter what people say. Let them go do what they want to do. But thank God I know what works. Amen? We're not changing our music and our message and our melody because we know it works. Amen? If it sounds like heaven, how could we have anything that sounds any better? Amen? Spirit-filled people are steady. Daniel says, it worked when I was young. It'll work when I'm old. It worked in my teens, in my 20s, in my 30s. In my midlife, it worked. It worked in my 60s, in my 70s, in my 80s. And so I just think I'll just keep on keeping on. Amen. Don't you like that crowd that just keeps on keeping on? Brother, I'm telling you, sometimes people leave church and for whatever reasons they leave and it breaks our hearts and we weep when those kind of people, when we have fallout or blowout or people, you know, there's some mass exodus. We hate that. But you know what we do? We just come right back in here, turn the lights back on, pick our Bibles back up, open the psalm book, and we keep on keeping on. Amen? Because it's not about them, it's about Him. Isn't that right? I'm talking about spirit-filled people are steady. They don't say spirit-filled people are simple. Notice what Daniel said in verse number 4. He said, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Now, Hiddekel is that Tigris River. It's one of those great rivers that flowed in the paradise of Eden when God created this world. And Daniel is sitting there. I can see him. He's in some form of retirement. Possibly he's at Shushan the palace, but I don't know that to be for certain, but some commentaries say that. But for wherever he would be at, Daniel is in some form of retirement. You would think that Daniel would take the latter years, the walking years of his life, and not enjoy the sinful pleasures of Babylon, but possibly some of the benefits that Babylon had to offer. That maybe he would sit in some palace and some luxurious lifestyle, enjoy some of the things that Babylon had to offer. He's given his whole life to serving God, and so it would seem that maybe he could just coast out the rest of those years. But that's not what he's doing. Daniel says, "Listen." And he said, I just need a little place here by the side of the river Hiddekel to sit down. He just finds a little place of comfort that he might sit down and rest. You know, spirit-filled people are never enticed by the things of this world. I remember chapter 5, whenever Belshazzar offered him those gifts and that put those positions to interpret the writing on the wall. And basically Daniel said, King, I'm not for sale. He said, you can keep your gifts and give them to another. He said, I'll interpret the writing. You know, real men of God are not for sale. Daniel was not enticed with the pleasures of Babylon as a young man. So he certainly wasn't enticed with the pleasures of Babylon as an old man. Daniel lived all those years in Babylon, but Babylon never lived one day in the heart of Daniel. He lived clean. He lived for God in Babylon just like he would as if he was living in Jerusalem. He sold out and he surrendered to God long before he ever got to Babylon. So the lights of Babylon did not entice him. The king of Babylon did not bring fear to him, for Daniel was serving another God. He was serving another king. He was thinking about another land. Now, I want to tell you, Daniel lived what would be a simple life in Babylon to the Babylonians, but he was in touch with heaven. I want to say, spirit-filled people, they don't need all the toys and the trinkets of this world. And they're not living for this world, amen? But they're living for another world. Daniel says, God, I don't need a palace. I just need a little place by the side of the river Hiddekel. where your presence will show up and meet with me. I see the Spirit-filled people are simple. And then Spirit-filled people, this is very deep. Spirit-filled people are spiritual. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, even if you're from Alabama, you can figure that out. Spirit-filled people are spiritual. But what marks spirituality is what I want to know. It's not based on how loud you shout. Can I tell you, I like shouting. If you come to our church and if we go two services and somebody don't shout, I think the whole church is backslid. I'm just being honest with you. And I like shouting, but shouting does not mark spirituality. In fact, some of the meanest people I ever pastored shouted. I'm just being honest with you. They shouted in here and they shouted out in the parking lot. They shouted in my office. I'm talking about they knew how to shout. Singing does not mark spirituality. Thank God for good singers, but I want to tell you, there's some people that lean so much on their talent, they trust in their talent. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, they sing and they sound good. The only problem is when you start seeing how they live, they don't live right, they don't live clean. You start looking at how they dress and you start looking at the places they go and you find out real quick, they may sing good, but they're not spiritual. Those things don't mark spirituality. Testifying, I love good testimonies. Some people, though, they have the gift to gab. Y'all know anybody like that? They can just talk and talk and talk. And boy, they can articulate words in such a way that even it makes me, when I hear them, I think, man, I wish I could say that the way they say that. That don't mean they're spiritual. He said, preacher, how do you know somebody's spiritual? Look at what he says in verse number 6, verse 5. He said, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded like the fine gold of Euphaz. His body also was like the beryl, that's the color of topaz. And his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes is lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I want to tell you who Daniel is seeing in these two verses here. It's not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Amen. It's not Gabriel. It's not Michael, the archangel. You know who this is? This is a pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. Daniel looks out across that river, Hiddekel, and he sees a man coming across that river. But it's not just any man. He said it was a certain man. He took one look at him and he knew he was different from anybody else he'd ever seen before. He starts walking across that river and he sees his body. His torso is like topaz. He sees the face is shining like lightning. And he sees that his arms and his legs is like polished brass. And his voice is the words of a multitude. He saw a pre-incarnate Christ. I'm going to tell you something about spiritual people. What marks their spirituality is who and what they talk about. He's talking about one person, friend, and that's Jesus. You know, I've heard preachers preach, and if I'd have never sat down at the lunch table and ate dinner with them, I'd have thought they were the greatest preachers in the world. And I found out some of them have the gift, but they're not spiritual. They can preach. They're not holy men of God. There's a lot of preachers, but there's holy men of God. Holy men of God talk about one subject that outshines every other subject. Holy men of God, you listen, they don't have time to talk about a lot of other things. I'm thinking about a holy man of God right now that every time we get together, our fellowship is so sweet. It is so wonderful. I feel like I've been in the presence of Christ because that's all He ever talks about. You could talk about sports and He wouldn't be against sports if you talked about sports, but He'll talk about sports for about 2 minutes and then He'll get off on Jesus. Amen? He's not against hunting and I'm not against hunting and you can talk about hunting, but it's just not His passion. And he hunts, but it's not his excitement. He'll talk about that buck for just a minute, but then he's going to go right back to Jesus. Amen. You can talk about the church and the ministry, and he loves the church and loves the ministry, but in just a matter of moments, he's going to tell you about, oh, I met with him this morning, and he was so real to me. He was so fresh this morning. Or he'll say things like this, preacher, let me tell you what he showed me this morning. Let me tell you what he said to me this morning. I want to say, spiritual people, they really just got one subject. Amen. It doesn't do anything for the world. It bores most carnal Christians. Amen. I'll tell you, if you're spiritual, you'll connect with it. Amen. Spiritual people, they talk about Him, friends. So why do they talk so much about Him? Because they see Him. Every day. Everywhere. You say, how do spiritual people see Him that much? I just don't believe that, Brother Gravely. How do they see? Oh, they're always looking for Him. They're looking for Him in the Bible. They're looking for, I got one man when he comes to church, he's looking for him before he ever gets to the door. I can't tell you the times I pulled up in a parking lot, he'd be sitting over there in his truck, and I could already see him weeping and crying. Sometimes I pull up, and you think he's mad slapping the dash, you know, but he's not mad. God's already showed up, already blessed him. He stays that way all the time. If I'm ever preaching in a dead church, I call him. I said, Brother Barnes, are you going to meet with me tonight? He said, it must be dead if you're calling me. I say it is. I need somebody to help me out a little bit. Spiritual people are spiritual. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how loud somebody shouts. I don't care how good they sing. If they got a tongue that'll roll from here to the Georgia line, friend, listen, they're not spiritual. Amen. That's what James said. And these spiritual people are separated. Look what he said in verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. He said in verse number 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. Spiritual people are separated. You know that there's two parts of separation. I know you know this. Separation from and separation to. Daniel in chapter 1, he separated from this world. He separated from the Babylonians. He said, I'm not going to live as the Babylonians live. I'm not going to do as the Babylonians do. And it is possible to live in this world and not be of this world. Amen? You may be a young person and say, well, preacher, you don't know the peer pressure that I face. You don't know what I'm facing down at the school. And you don't know what I'm facing on the job. I don't know what you're facing, but I would say this. You're not facing near the peer pressure as a teenager as what Daniel faced in Babylon. Friend, I'm sure the schoolhouse or the workforce has nothing in comparison to what the pressure was that was upon Daniel and those who were coming into Babylon that day. But Daniel said, I'm not going to live like them. I'm not going to sing their songs. I'm not going to dress the way that they dress. I'm not going to go the place that they go and live like the Babylonians. And because of that, because he separated from them, God said, Daniel, I'm going to separate you to some things. I'm going to let you see some things that nobody else is going to see. I'm going to let you hear some things that nobody else is going to hear. I'm going to show you some things that nobody else will ever see. Why? Because he separated. Spirit-filled people are separated. And if the only part of separation you know is coming out and never coming to, friend, you can be gun barrel straight and twice as empty. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But the reason that man is not doing those things in verse 1 is because of verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to know why that man's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of scornful. Because day and night, he's in the law of the Lord. He's found something more precious. He's found something more wonderful. I'm going to tell you what to keep you clean from this world. It's to saturate yourself in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Get in your Bible. You say, well, it just doesn't do a whole lot for me. I want to tell you, if you get close enough, if you'll just stay in it, it'll get richer and richer and sweeter to the point that you'll lose your appetite for the things of this world. And my friend, the Word of God and prayer will grow in your life. Daniel had separated from the world. And so God said, Daniel, I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to leave you alone that even these other men are not going to see. Spirit-filled people are separated. And then I want to say they're small. Look at what Daniel says in verse number 8. He said, there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now listen to me. Daniel is one of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. In fact, outside of Joseph, apart from Joseph and Daniel, there's no one else in the Old Testament that the Bible doesn't talk about either one of them sin. The Bible doesn't mention Joseph's sin. It doesn't mention Daniel's sin. In fact, Daniel mentions his own sin in chapter 9. Had Daniel not done that, then listen, we would have never known anything about the sins of Daniel. And I read that one day and I thought to myself, Daniel, such a holy man of God, he says in chapter 9, he says, we have sinned, we have rebelled. And I read that and I thought, how could Daniel, I just can't see Daniel as a sinner. I know he was one, but I can't see him as one. I can't see Daniel as a rebel. I mean, but he says, we have rebelled and we have sinned. You say, preacher, how is that possible? Because the closer you get to Christ, the more you see yourself for who you really are. Daniel got close enough. He saw himself as a rebel. You don't think one of the reasons we don't have revival is because we have too much value of ourselves. Nobody here tonight would stand up and say, I value myself. But yet, how many times does the Holy Spirit deal with us and we don't do business? Because we really don't see ourselves that way. You know, I like them sermons that just smoke my heart, don't you? I mean, I'm not saying I enjoy them, but I sure am thankful for them after they're over with. I thought of a statement that I've heard so many times that took me years. In fact, it wasn't until I read this that I realized that I understand why people make these statements. Have you ever had anybody leave your church? Or maybe you witnessed to somebody, I'm not talking about a sinner, but someone that got away from God. That at one time lived the way you live, they lived the way we live, they believed the Bible, they believed everything, they believed what the pastor preached and loved God, but then one day they started changing. They started going a different route, a different course. And they made this statement that's so familiar to all of us tonight. They said, well, you know, I used to believe that, I used to stand that way, but I just don't see that way anymore. Yeah, I know that. I know that's what you believe, and I used to do those things, but I kind of look at things differently now. I don't see that like that. You know, that's so true. Because the further we get away from God, the less we see things the way we're supposed to. I'll tell you something tonight. The reason a lot of people don't see things the way they used to see them is because they're not filled with the Spirit for Him. Getting closer to God does not make us Pharisaical. It doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It doesn't make us want to stick our chest out. It doesn't make us want to boast or brag about anything. The closer we get to God, the more we feel with the Holy Spirit, the more we see ourselves for who we really are. We see how insufficient we are, how inadequate we are, and how much we need Him in our life. Spirit-filled people are small. And then they're submissive. The Bible says in verse number 9 that He was in a deep sleep on His face. His face was toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched Him and set Him upon His knees and upon the palm of His hand. He's in a very humble position, a place of submission tonight. And I want to tell you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll take submission. You'll have to submit yourself to God. You know, anything in your life, in our life, that the Holy Spirit deals with, we ought to be willing to surrender it. Well, it doesn't matter how big or how small it is. In fact, I'm convinced of this. If you and I are not willing to lay the small things on the altar, then we'll never lay the big things on the altar. Just a little. You remember when you first got saved? You know what the small thing in my life was when I first got saved? I needed a haircut. I went to church on Sunday night, and it didn't take a whole lot of Holy Spirit conviction. Because the preacher came up to me and said, well, I'm glad you got saved. Now get a haircut. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, are you against beards? I said, I never had a choice. I grew up at Faith Baptist Camp. Everybody was against beards at Faith Baptist Camp. So the preacher came and said, I'm glad you're saved. Now you need to get a haircut. And then he preached on it. So I went and got a haircut. And then he came up and he said, you know, you'll never witness to people effectively about Jesus with that skull in your mouth. So get rid of it. I mean, that's just the way it was. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but they didn't give you no option. They didn't ask you to pray about it. They didn't ask you to go home and think about it. They didn't try to use some tactful, you know, I was a new convert, but it was just like, hey, you need to get that stuff out of your mouth now. Amen. I know that's too hard for some people to swallow. I thank God for that. So what did you do? I got rid of it. I went into shock for about 3 days, but I got rid of it. And one by one, it was just, if you didn't get the message right here, they told you out there. I'm like, hey, you didn't hear what I said? Take care of that. You know, I didn't know. I thank God I didn't know. I didn't know to rebel against that. All I knew was, that's a man of God. Whatever he said, I thought I was supposed to do what the man of God said. If he laid his Bible out and said, hey, son, let me tell you, you need to stop this. You'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just thought he's God's preacher. He's God's voice. I remember one time a lady got mad at our preacher. And I thought, man, she's got some brass. She got so mad that she yelled at the preacher. She made a statement that I would not make. Went home and I thought, boy, she's in trouble with God. 2 weeks later, her daughter, 16-year-old daughter, got killed in a car accident. I watched her bring her back in that place broken. I've never forgot that. I'm going to tell you tonight,
I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you? Some of those elementary things of surrender, submission. I wonder what is it tonight in your life that the Holy Spirit would want you to surrender? Tonight, the fullness of joy is being filled with Him. There's more to going to church than just hearing a good sermon and singing good songs. There's more to serving Jesus than just living by the book, but you can live in the book. You can have the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder tonight, who are you operating in the energy of the flesh? Are you operating in His power? He can do so more, much more with you and through you if you'll just yield. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that You'll bless the invitation. Lord, I pray tonight that we'll purpose in our heart to be filled with the fullness of Thy Spirit. God, help us in this day not to be satisfied with the performance of our flesh. Dear God, I pray that You will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves in Christ's name. God.